Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If you're looking for an external thing to make your internal fulfilled, it just won't come. It'll feel good for a little bit, but you're constantly chasing the high. You're constantly chasing next. You're constantly chasing the next thing or the next adventure, the next goal. And that's what you're doing because you're thinking, well, maybe one day external will help my internal. And it really won't.
My name is Johnny L. Sasser, and I'm a former Special Operations U.S. Army Ranger and Tactical Commander to the U.S. Ambassador's Protective Detail. I have seen the struggle even the most hardened men have faced when they combat their inner demons, and I am here to shine a light on those struggles to show that no man is exempt from adversity and internal pain. Men from all walks of life share their stories of hardship, darkness, and perseverance so that every man knows that whatever he is going through, he is not alone. Evolution for Men begins now. Hey everyone, today's guest is Brett Snodgrass. He is 15 plus years in real estate. He's done flipping, creative financing, and business scaling, but he also has an amazing new book out called The Secret War Within, and he's got an amazing podcast called Iron Deep Podcast. Now, we get into a lot of conversations with this, but also the main thing that we focus on is that how men's community can really give us depth and purpose, help us to discover our purpose as men. We dive into that conversation really intensely here on this episode, and especially talking about how that in relation to men who are in support of Christ also are building strong foundational pieces to be solid, good, integral men within society today. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode and I'll see y'all around the corner. What's going on, brother? How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Johnny. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast today, man. I love what you're doing, the art of masculinity. I'm just super impressed. I'm proud of you. Number one, almost 400 in. So that's a long journey. I think the average podcast is about 20. So there you go.
Yeah, man. You know, I learned something. I tell people this all the time. My listeners already know this, but I tell people that, you know, I'm just too dumb to quit. And so at that point, I just keep going and going and going. And sometimes it works out for me and sometimes it's failed efforts, but nevertheless, I always give it everything I got. So that's always a good thing.
Yeah. Amazing.
Well, cool, brother. I'm super stoked to have you on. This is going to be really cool because there's a lot of what you're doing I like, and a lot of what you're doing partially because everything's kind of wrapped in your Christ-based purpose and how you have your relationship with you know, Christianity and Christ and God. And then also you're exposing a side of kind of development for men that is not fully embraced by all men, which is why we need guys to jump in, right? So I love what you're doing out there, and I really want to start diving into this with you, which is, first off, let's start with, have you always been tied with your business and having kind of like tied in with your religion? Has that always been a thing, or has that been something recently that's come up in your life?
The answer is absolutely not. It has not always been tied in. Honestly, yeah. So I gave my life to Christ when I was 30. I started our business when I was about 27. So really my 20s were very horrendous, very narcissistic, womanizing, party, you know, just looking for the weekend. And I wanted to make a lot of money. So I started a business when I was 27. And then that was really just, again, all about Brett. And Brett wanted to be wealthy, to be rich, to be a millionaire. And a lot of it was really just tied into that. And then about when I was 30, really hit kind of a situation. I had a 2-year-old daughter at the time and had a big house, had the nice car and the boat and the driveway. And the woman, my daughter's mother, had left. And I was just kind of broken at that point, at that moment in my life, 30 years old. And just had achieved a lot of these different things, chased and, you know, achieve these things of successes that men desire, and just kind of felt just that complete miserable emptiness inside. And that's when I just started searching bigger. What is the meaning? What is life? is it worth it? Right? Like all these different types of questions just kind of pounded my brain, and it ended up, you know, God showed up. It was September the 15th, 2010. And that was 14 years ago now. And I showed up in my bedroom and, you know, this wrestling match of about a year long of me asking some of these very difficult questions and meeting with some other guys too, right? Building some other mentor relationships and asking these difficult questions. And so that's where really Christ came into my life 14 years ago. From then on, yeah, I mean, I've been a marketplace guy, entrepreneur, building a business. We really started tying it about 2014, so about 9 years ago. And I just said, you know, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. And I just said, let's just go all in. So really that's where it kind of started, the faith with the business and my passion for other men, business entrepreneurs in that space to do life, to do mission together. Yeah. So that's a little bit of the story in a nutshell.
I love that. What does it sound, or what did it look like for you as far as those tough questions when you spent like that year long wrestling match? I know a lot of guys probably are wondering that right now when they hear that part of your story. What did that look like for you?
I mean, some of the questions obviously is God real, right? Is this really it, or is this all just kind of a waste of time? That's one of the questions. Like, is it real? Is there a purpose? Is there a meaning to it? Is there a designer? Is there a creator? Did he speak life and earth and heavens into existence? And is that real or is it not? And if it's not, then again, you know, the atheist would say, I think at the end, it could be just a waste of time, right? We're here. And so that was one of the main questions. Are the stories true? And just kind of seeking after what is true. What is truth? Yeah. And is there a truth, right? So some of the deep questions that I probably, throughout my 20s, I never thought anything more than beyond myself at that point. But really, I think the main question is, what is truth? And the question for me was, if it is true and if I can see that it's true and you can show me that it's true, then I will give my life, I will follow. And, you know, for my story, I believe he did show up, right? There was definitely some miracles just along that way with that wrestling match of seeking and some pain. And a lot of times greatness is on the other side of suffering. I mean, I'm sure you talk a lot about that to men. So a lot of suffering and pain going into that. And then at the end was just a restoration, a redemption. But I think, yeah, the main question was, is it true? And if it is, then let's go.
Dude, it's so powerful because I think that's something that, you know, my wife and I have kind of come back to our relationship with God and the church and religion. And that's one of the things I still struggle with, you know, is it true? Yeah. Was this, you know, this was written by man's hand. Like, you know, how have they not manipulated? We see people manipulate things all the time in this world. So it's like, how would they not have manipulated it for maybe their benefit? And I still think I struggle with that a lot. And I think a lot of men do. I think a lot of men really desire that connection that you're talking about with God.
Yeah.
And then there's that kind of standoffishness of like, but wait a minute, am I just being manipulated, right? Is this right. All a facade, right? Because yeah, it's like, do you believe that it's true? Do you trust that it's true? And that's a tough question, bro. I love that that's one that you asked yourself and you constantly wrestled with.
And I think a lot of men struggle with that. And, you know, I think a lot of men need to see proof. They need to see evidence. They need to see with their own eyes. And that's the difficult part about it. And so some of the studies that I probably even got into was some of the evidence, right? And I follow an author called Richard E. Simmons III. He's not the 70s fitness instructor. He's a different guy. But I But he wrote a couple of books. One of the books I got my hands on was The True Measure of a Man. Awesome, amazing book. That's the most book I give out. But he wrote this another book. I'm probably going to butcher the title, but I read through that. But it was Evidence of the Existence of God. And it really just kind of went through a lot of the evidence. So I think that if you are struggling with that and you're struggling with truth, you're struggling with real, and you need some evidence, then I would start reading some of the evidence behind it, because I think that it gives you a lot of that confidence of the evidence, because there is compelling evidence around it, around the story of God, around the story of Christ. So I would just start there.
I love that because, you know, I believe it and I know there is. And then yet my ego, my material world, my material man still wants to say, but like you haven't seen it physically, right? You're still reading right. it. You're still reading this.
Yeah.
So I believe it and I know there's evidence. And then you still have that, you know, 3D matrix kind of perception of like, but it's not in front of you, right?
Yeah. And I get it. And I totally understand it. And obviously, there's a lot. I mean, no one knows exactly
right.
what is going to happen. I mean, there's obviously a mystery. There's a mysterious thing to it. There's some unknown to it. And I guess the question would be, you can believe and you can really go and have faith in that and you can go that direction, or you can have faith that it's not true and it's not real. And that takes a lot of faith too, to believe some of the other things that are out there yeah. about, hey, you know, something from nothing came into everything of life, right? That yeah. takes a lot of faith as well. So whatever you choose, you have to have a lot of faith.
Well, it's so funny. I heard that, and I'm sure you've heard that quote too, but there's that quote. Yeah. It says, scientists have an answer for everything, except they need you to believe in one miracle, right? So, I'm butchering the same, but that's what it is. They need you to believe in one miracle, which is the Big Bang, because they still have no evidence or proof for it, right? So it's like,
right.
So even in that, just like you said, there still has to be a level of faith, even if you're purely saying like science is the way end all be all. So it's a really fascinating conversation.
And I just come back to the miracle of just life and the miracle of God's creation and the wonder. I mean, you know, you just look around you and you're like, it's just absolutely ridiculous. You look at the stars in the sky, you look at the creation of the mountains. Like, I'm sure you go to the mountains and hike and you look at the mystery of your heart beating right now and everything is working together to bring you life and to breathe. I mean, it's just absolutely a miracle of life, right? So
yeah,
there we go.
A lot of
man.
Power in that, brother. And I'm on that journey as well. And so I love being able to have this conversation with you, seeing somebody who's kind of been on the other side of it, but had the same exact questions, you know. And I think a lot of men can resonate with that as well. So I love that you have brought this in. So when you started and gained success, but you felt hollow, right? I want to take us back to that moment because I think there's a lot there as well. Because there's men out there that think like, okay, I'll be happy when, you know, that whole facade of I'll be happy when this happens, when I have this amount of money, or when I have, you know, this person in my life. And was that something that you dealt with and then you got the money and then you're like, wait a second. What I thought was going to show up didn't show up.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can just really simplify it too. I mean, you know, to all your listeners out there, have you ever bought something new? Let's just say you've bought a new car. You went and you were excited about it. You drove it off the lot. You're like, oh, this is so cool. It has a really cool radio and the seats smell really good and all this stuff. And you drive by and then, you know, honestly, it really, really after a month or however long it takes, it's not that cool anymore. It doesn't have that much impact on you. Replace the car with whatever that is and that will be. So here's the interesting thing. So I'll go back to the biblical point of view. Paul, he writes about like he's lived with a lot, like he's had so much in his life and then he's been completely broke and in prison with nothing. And I maybe haven't gone to that extreme, but I have also been completely broke. No money, go on a date and your debit card bounces, overdraft, like feel like a loser, like have nothing. And then I've had $1 million in the bank or whatever that looks like. Internally, it's about the same, that it doesn't change that much internally of your life. So if you're looking for an external thing to make your internal fulfilled, it just won't come. It'll feel good for a little bit, but you're constantly chasing the high. You're constantly chasing next. You're constantly chasing the next thing or the next adventure, the next goal. And that's what you're doing because you're thinking, well, maybe one day external will help my internal. And it really won't. So, I mean, I know you talk about the internal all the time, the internal man, the internal design of the man, that fulfillment comes from the internal. So I think, you know, all the listeners out there, it's cool. I'm not saying don't be successful. I'm not saying go after your dreams. And I love to create. I love to build. I love to do all that stuff. But I know at the end of the day, it's not going to fulfill me to the next. My lifestyle has reached a point. It's not going to change that much. Brett's not going to change that much. But for me, yeah, it's a lot of the internal, it's the relationships, it's relationship with God, relationship with other people at the end of the day. So I think that men just misplace their priorities at the end of the day. They misplace their desire. And I think that's the trap that we all get into. A chase for the next, to the next. And it's just a complete addiction after that. And you don't know how to get out of it. So that's probably Brett ranting, but I think
I love it.
Again, it goes back to the external will never ultimately permanently make you fulfilled. It will for a little bit. And it's fun. It's you know, riding roller coasters is fun, but right when you get off, yeah. You're like, oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
But ultimately I'm still the same person at the end of the day. So
right. And that's where that level of success or that desire for success, that material success, like there are benefits to it. And I love that that's kind of what you're highlighting. There are benefits. We're not saying
benefits
that.
For sure.
But at the end of the
I
day,
mean, you know, if I was, I mean, to be rich or poor, I think I would choose rich, right? I would choose wealthy. Sure. I mean, you have a lot more options and freedom. You don't have to worry about your heat getting shut off and you got food in the refrigerator. Not to ever go to that extreme, but it gives you options. Like we can go to Florida or we can go to Mexico if we want to. I can go put my toes in the sand and somewhere else and watch a nice sunset.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and it's fun. Yeah, so.
So when guys are listening to this and they're like, cool, Brett, I get it. Like, I get it. Like the material stuff's not going to bring me the happiness I believe it's going to bring. Yes, it'll make life a little easier, right? Sure. Okay. Yeah. But it's not going to give me the happiness. So what should they look at internally, or what do you work with your men's groups on? Like, what do you guys talk about of like, how do we create that balance internally so that when the hard times show up, because they'll come back, we still stay connected to ourselves. And when the good times show up, again, we still stay connected to ourselves.
At Iron Deep, so we run an organization called Iron Deep. These are entrepreneurial men. So hard drivers, men that love success. We love to build, we love to create. So we talk about business. We talk about creating. I don't ever want to say, hey, don't do that. God designed me, you to do that. I want you to do that. I want you to be, you've built for a design. So we talk about three areas. We talk about number one, our relationship with God. We talk about our relationship with our families, and we talk about business. So I'll give you number one. I think you have to be radically honest. Like our top core value is just to be radically honest. Be radically honest with yourself. Be radically honest with God. Be radically honest with each other. And that's just hard to do. So we have to come together and sharpen each other to get to that point of, again, just being honest and just knowing where you're at. I think we just go through life and we're constantly pushing and driving, and we just never really know what's going on and really what's real and what are our priorities. So that's where we start being radically honest. You talk about vulnerability, just having a group that you can be honest with and then not to judge you, not to look down on you. Most of these guys can't be vulnerable anywhere. They can't be vulnerable in their businesses. They can't really let anyone know how they're doing. They're on social media. They got their game face on. Like they can't let anything out. So having a space, a safe space to have that, obviously is super important. Community is really important. I mean, we all need, again, the Lord, he designed us for togetherness. So it's just so important to have that brotherhood. Most men don't have that. We live on isolated islands, especially entrepreneurs, because we're always working. we don't even think about relationships. So our life literally turns into just a big transaction at the end of the day, that even our relationships are transactional. And if they're not benefiting us, we just toss them to the side. So just focusing on all these things and getting honest about all that and just kind of building that environment. My role, I think, is just to build the environment and the space for men to come in and let's just come as you are, lay it out, and just how can we help each other grow at the end of the day? And let's just be honest about it. That in and of itself is just most men don't have, so.
Yeah, it's so good because there's a big question in there, which is how do men find these communities without looking for what is the value in that person, right? I think that's probably one of the questions I get a lot from men. Is that like, how do I go into a conversation with this new person I met named Brett and not see him as what can I get from him, but see him as, hey, this is another man on his journey in life that I can connect with, and let's have a conversation and be open with one another, right? How do men start to challenge that block in themselves to have these real conversations, to really see people as potential advocates and supporters of their lives and missions and goals?
I think one of the greatest virtues is just the humility of the heart. Obviously, going back to the biblical perspective, humility is huge. Now, humility takes an extreme amount of work, extreme amount of intentionality. We don't wake up humble. We wake up extremely selfish. So again, reminding just the humility, you know, can I be totally present with Johnny? Can I come into this conversation without wondering how can Johnny benefit me, but how can I celebrate Johnny for who he is? How can I be completely present with you, lift you up, encourage you, and really just be in your corner at the end of the day? I mean, that's the group that I dream about, is for men to kind of come in, to be in each other's corner, to celebrate Johnny without thinking about Brett. Like when Johnny's successful, I genuinely do want to celebrate you and not wonder how come Johnny's successful and I'm not. Most of the time we get into this trap where when someone's successful, honestly, really, we wish that they weren't, because it makes us feel bad about ourselves.
Yeah.
So we compare each other. Yeah. But what if we lived in a world that we didn't have to do that? That we lived in an organization, and this is hard. This is very, very difficult, because men and human beings are very messy creatures and we're very selfish. But the environment that I would love to see is that environment of humility, to celebrate Johnny when he wins, to lift up Johnny if he loses, not to think when he wins, I feel terrible. When he loses, I actually feel good because I'm not as bad as Johnny.
Yeah. 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 Oh, you read my mind. I was going to take you down that path and you read my mind, because I was like, dude, guys want, I mean, we have, you know, to society's advantage, men have a competitive edge to them. And there are good things to that competition, which is why I believe we were given that ability. But then there's also the flip side of it, where there's very bad, negative things to that competition. And you put it perfectly, exactly like that. When we're comparing, then, and we're trying to compete, and I'm saying, well, Brett just landed a big contract and got some money, and now I'm mad at Brett, and now I'm not going to text Brett or call Brett and say what's up because I'm pissed that he had success. Yeah. Like, that's that negative competition, right? Or if Brett like had a down year and he's like open with me, like, yeah, we didn't make as much, or, you know, we're not doing as well. And then I'm like, secretly, I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. That sucks. You know, we're like,
I know. I don't care.
Yeah. And it's like, how do we get guys to really challenge this in themselves, to be like, guys, like, there's more gifts for you in the celebration and support, authentic support of others, and not comparing, thinking that you need to be better than them.
I think it's just putting the human element into it. I mean, I would just encourage people to practice trying to look at people, as just human beings. For example, I have a podcast, the Iron Deep Podcast. And let's say I have someone on a particular podcast that is unknown. They don't have very many followers. They haven't been super successful. How do I come into that particular meeting with my heart? How's my heart posture in that particular meeting? And then the next guest, which I've had this happen, is a billionaire, so many connections, has a TV show. How do I come in with that particular podcast? Yeah. Is it different or is it the same? Now, if you can come into those relationships and I can look at them as people, as individuals, as they have a heart, they have, right, they're breathing, right? And I look at them as a person. And again, going back to the biblical perspective, how maybe Christ looks at you, that can we do that? I've started to do this with my own family. Like, sometimes even we get into this, to the trenches of your spouse, that we look at them as something, or we look at our kids as a nuisance. Maybe they're nagging, or they're a nuisance, right? Because they're distracting you from what you really want to do, and it's your life, and why can't I be successful? But I got these kids. These are some of the things that men start to struggle with. But if you slow down and you just start to look at them, and this is like a human being, this is a gift. And you start to look at people like that, that takes extreme work and intentionality every single day. But I would just start to practice that and start with maybe your own family. Look at them. I mean, this is like, it's just such a gift that God has given us in that. And human beings, I mean, the relationships, I mean, this whole thing, this whole relationship thing, I mean, gosh, it's amazing if we see it as that, as a gift, but most people see it as not a gift. They see it as a nuisance. They see it as a transaction. And, you know, one of our core, again, our core values, whether my real estate business or Iron Deep business, it's we try to be relational instead of transactional. Most times we look at the relationships as a transaction. And if they don't benefit you any longer, then they're done.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
Right? At the end of it. So anyways, these are some things that I'm practicing. I'm definitely not perfect at it, but practice this, practice relational relationship and just see what it does to you. See what it does to your fulfillment at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, it goes through the roof. So
see how you carry yourself in conversations and really open up to connect with people. It's great. It's great. And no, I don't believe any of us are ever going to be perfect in these things, but it's great because you're giving guys things that even you continually work on. And I love that you said practice these things, because that's one of the core emphasis that I place on men is like, hey, you can't get better in any area of life without practicing. And that means you got to be willing to mess up. You got to be willing to have it look ugly or look dumb or whatever you want to put on it. But if you're willing to expose yourself in those ways, you're also willing to grow. And that's going to create a more fulfilling life.
Yeah. No, I love that. I mean, one of the biggest regrets that men face when they get older, there was a study, 90 plus year old people, and what were some of the things you wish you would have changed or regretted? One of them was just to take more risks. Right, to be more true to who I was. And so I wrote down take the risk. One of my things that I say is like if I'm thinking about a decision and I'm like, man, that's kind of risky. It takes me out of my comfort zone, right? So if it takes me out of my comfort zone, I'm just like, let's roll the dice. You know?
I love that.
Let's roll the dice. Let's just see how it works. I don't know how it's going to work. Iron Deep, like I don't know how men are going to respond to this. Who knows? Yeah. Let's just roll
the comfortable dice. Get comfortable in the uncomfortable, man. That's what I say, you know, because that's where the growth really happens. You said it earlier. Yeah. I can't remember if it was when you and I were chatting before or if it was on the podcast, but you said the biggest gifts are on the other side of kind of the biggest challenges that we face. And it's like, if we constantly put ourselves in those challenges, then, you know, I heard this before as well, like God never gives you a challenge that he equally isn't giving you a reward to that size on the other side. It's the people that don't stick through that challenge and believe that they can pass through it, that they can actually then receive the gifts on the other side. And I think that's where a lot of us, the humanism comes in and fails, is that we beat ourselves up and we start to judge ourselves and we say we're not good enough and we might just be a couple inches from that over that hump, right? And then we're still sitting there just like, I give up, I'm done. I'm gonna turn back around and climb down the hill.
And it's so easy to do. And I struggle with that all the time. We just wrote a book and you've written a book. So we did a book called The Secret War Within. And what are my thoughts starting to write a book? I'm not good enough. I'm not a good writer, terrible English student. I don't know what I'm doing. Those are all the thoughts. But again, it's just one foot in front of the other, the discipline of doing it. And then we have it. And then we see some of the response. And then the other thing is after you put it out, now here's the thoughts. What are people going to think? How are they going to respond? Are people going to like it? Mine was honestly, what if my mother-in-law reads it? What's she going to think of me? Like that, because mine was kind of gritty and PG-13. But anyways, but we did it. And that's just one uncomfortable thing. It could be in the fitness. I mean, you guys are talking about fitness, getting uncomfortable, ice baths. I mean, all these different things that people are doing. It's just trying to get uncomfortable, because then we know that eventually it's actually not going to be uncomfortable. I remember my first house that I bought 16 years ago. Man, that was one of the most uncomfortable things that I've ever done. And then now we buy a house every all the time, every day. So it's not a huge deal anymore. So, but then what our tendency is, we just stop doing that. We're like, we stop growing, we stop pushing it. We can all kind of get stuck into that stagnant growth mode. I know my seasons of non-growth has been, just in that comfortable. I stopped reading, I stopped listening, I stopped pushing, all those things. So
Yeah. And I want to take us down this path a little bit because you are in this real estate world and you do things with creative financing deals for passive income on top of, you do real estate and you guys have a portfolio over 250 homes, I think, if I'm not correct, might be more now. But ultimately, like you said, especially as men, I think there's a point where we stop growing. We get scared of the discomfort. We fear failure. And then we stop doing the practices that challenge us, like you just said. And I hear a lot of men where they're like, I'm not making the money. I'm not giving my family the life that they deserve. I'm, whatever it is, fill in the blank of beating yourself up. They say all those things, but then they're not willing to get uncomfortable to create a better life, right? And so I love one of the things that I love all of what you're doing, but I love specifically this one piece that you had, which is you guys get creative financing deals for passive income. That to me is like, guys, like Brett's got something here and it's not like Brett like recreated the wheel. Brett found something that was very advantageous and helpful to create the life that he wants. And he's showing other people how to do this. And that's a thing that guys could probably step into on the side of their like 9 to 5. And that was an assumption by me. So I wanted to bring this up because I wanted to have you talk about this a little bit because there are options like this. But what does that look like in your field for that specific piece and for somebody potentially looking to make more income?
Number one, I have a daughter who's getting ready to turn 17. And so my advice to her is, I don't care if you do real estate, but real estate should be always a part of your life. I don't care if you do it full time. So you don't have to do real estate full time, but I believe real estate for me, when I started reading the books back in 2007, it's one of it's probably the vehicle that's made the most millionaires, wealthiest people in the world from a lot of different resources. So that's why I chose real estate. And yeah, we flip a lot of houses. So we do a couple hundred flips a year. We have a rental portfolio as well, several rentals with that. And then we do this creative financing thing that actually is new to us. We used to buy cash, sell cash. We didn't do a whole lot of creative financing. And then this is actually new. This is a pivot to our business this particular year. The real estate industry has been a little bit wonky. You guys been watching it. You got ups, you got downs, you got record years, you got high interest rates, you got COVID coming in, you have super high prices, overinflated prices, and all these different things are happening super competitive now when I first started. So you got all these different things going on. And as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, again, anything you do, fitness, business, family, how are you going to adapt? How are you going to pivot? Because people who really win and execute, they pivot when things get difficult. Our business last year was very difficult. And we're figuring out how are we going to continue because we can't keep doing things the same way. That's the definition of insanity. You keep doing things the same way and expect different results. Things that worked 2 years ago, 3 years ago in the real estate business didn't work for us anymore. So this whole creative financing and we can, this is a whole different show, but buying properties where the sellers finance us, buying properties we buy and we take over their mortgage for them because they're facing foreclosure. We sell properties where we're the bank. Think about a car dealership, come here, buy here, pay here. We do that with homes. So those are some different strategies to build that passive income in our life that I love, right? So I love creative finance. It's one of the best vehicles mixed with some of these other real estate things. But if I'll leave you with this, if you want to build a better life, make more income, real estate is an amazing vehicle to do that. I would explore it definitely. So whether you do it full-time or not.
So for guys out there, because I know there are a lot of guys that look into this, guys tend to be more business minded in the sense of we attract to those things, right? And guys probably sitting there like, cool, I've been hearing this. This might be like the third time, but maybe it's, you getting a sign right now that you've heard this 5 times this week that real estate is where you're supposed to be. Where do guys start with that? What's your recommendation for like an early entrance where, there's a little bit of a softer entry point and not as drastic to help them get a little bit of taste of it or get their feet in the water type thing?
Yeah, I think there's obviously a lot of different real estate ways to get into the game. But one of the big mistakes I think people do is they might want to get into a passive real estate game and they want to go all into that and they don't have active income. And I just want to make sure that you have active income. I see people trying to buy rental properties and they don't have a job. And I'm like, that is not going to do it for you. You have to figure out how to have active income, and it could be your job. Don't leave your job right now.
Yeah.
My active income is flipping houses. That's my job, right? It pays the bills, it pays the team. But the wealth generator is rentals, creative financing deals. Those are the wealth generators. So obviously there's a lot of different resources out there. What I did, I'll tell you what I did, is I worked with an organization for a couple of years. I worked with a real estate organization for a couple of years and just learned, right? I learned what they did, and then I learned that they weren't that smart. And I said, I can do that. And then I did it. So that's a recommendation, just to really figure out who's doing it in your market, get to know them. Can you help them? Can you work with them? Can you do something for them? Maybe that is your active income. Maybe that is your job. Like for me, again, active income, you go work for someone and figure out how they're doing it and then go do it. Or if you have an active income job and let's say, you know, you have that going on, just try to buy a home. And I don't know what you want to do. You want to flip a house? You can flip the house, you can rent a house and just try it. Take a risk, just see how it feels. You don't have to go all in right now. You might buy a rental and like, I hate rentals. This is terrible. I don't want to do that at all. Flip a house. You're like, yeah. I don't want to do that at all. I've done all that. We actually do, we call it wholetailing, is we'll buy a house, we'll clean it out and then we'll sell it. We don't even really fix it up anymore. Yeah. So again, it's just whatever your niche is. I came from a teaching background. So I was a teacher. My parents are both teachers. So the income that you can make in real estate compared to some of these other things, like it just kind of blows your mind at the reality right. of the day. And if you're not in the business, you would say like, oh, this is kind of crazy. For example, you know, like I can make more money on one deal in a few weeks than I could for a year teaching, right? Than my dad made after 33 years of teaching. So it's an amazing vehicle. I think my biggest thing is get involved with another company, have them mentor you, coach you, whatever that looks like. If you're young, I would definitely get involved with a company you should work for them for about 2 years and then do it on your own.
Yeah, that's brilliant. There was Secrets of a Millionaire Mind. T. Harv Eker talks about that, where he at one point was thinking he wanted to own a pie shop or something like that. So he went and worked as like just a janitor. And this is a guy at this point, he was already in, you know, multimillionaire, I believe. And he goes and he's a janitor in a pie shop for like a week and just learns. He gets there early, talks to the people making the pies, all this stuff. Anyways, he basically learns the game and then realizes, yeah, I don't want to be part of this at all.
not really anything.
But he put himself in a position to say, hey man, this is something I'm really interested in. Let me involve myself in the industry and expose myself to the industry first before I make a commitment. And I love that you're saying that. And I know people are like, well, I don't have time to do that. But in a lot of cases, like real estate is kind of a side hustle. It's not a full-time job for a lot of people. So they'll show houses on the weekend and they're part of the industry and they're getting to learn the ropes, but they're not actually like, that's where their predominant income is coming from. So I love that you're saying this, because that's a beautiful way to really dive into anything, to be honest. Like go get part of that industry, right? Yeah, and explore it.
Yeah. And like I said, if you're making an income, I would buy a house, fix it up, what it looks like, and maybe rent it out for 3-6 months and just see if you like it. See how it works. You're probably not gonna lose. Make sure you get a decent deal on it. You know, talk to someone in that industry, make sure you get a decent deal. And you're probably gonna gain on it and not hurt you. So
Yeah. I mean, we did that in Pennsylvania and I knew nothing about home as far as, you know, rental properties or having a real estate portfolio. We bought a house in my mother-in-law's hometown, and which we love going to. It's a beautiful place. And then we ended up selling it probably about a year and a half later and made a good chunk of cash on it. Not like, you know, it was just, I didn't even know the payouts for these things. And I was like, wow, you know, we sat on this for about a year and a half, made a little minor upgrades, but ultimately didn't do anything majorly renovative to the house and ended up turning a pretty nice profit on it. And It is. It's. I can see where it's very attractive, especially if you have some form of income where you could put 20% down on a loan. Or, I mean, you probably have so many other creative ways to get financed for it, not have to even spend 20%. But it's a really cool thing to do for people.
And there's so many benefits to it. So for example, I was talking to a pilot the other day, and he's making really good income, but they pay a lot of high taxes. My CPA says real estate investors should never pay taxes. So you can say what you want about it. Like, you know, Donald Trump, he had some tax stuff, obviously, when he was running for president, but he's a real estate investor, right? Real estate investors should never pay taxes. So is that a benefit? I mean, even if that's the only benefit, there you go.
Pretty good. Yeah, I like it. No, it's so good. It's so informative for people to hear this, I think, and for men especially, because I see so many men just get so hung up where they're not happy. And I see men really struggle where they're not happy. And predominantly, I see a lot of it in finance. Yes, a lot of it's also communication and relationships. But predominantly, you see finance really weigh on guys, because finance is one of those areas that we're told as men, that's part of our providing territory is finance, because we're not hunting anymore. Now the hunting for food has become what's your income to provide for food, right? And so I hear guys struggle with this a lot. So I want to talk a little bit about your men's group as well and get back to that story, because how many of these guys, like, what are you finding the main struggles with some of these guys? Yes, they're hard chargers and they're entrepreneurs, but obviously there's a lot of struggle with all of us men. What are you finding that is kind of hindering them in their lives?
The interesting thing about men in general is pretty much the same problems. It's funny, I've done some prison ministry in the past, and then I've been hard charging men's groups, predominantly the same problems. So financial obviously is big. I mean, even whatever level you're at, even if you have a lot of money, the problem with men is they think that they're going to lose it. So they try to hang on to it really, really tight. So that's still right there. And we're taking a lot of risks. So financials obviously is a burden. We're trying to sharpen each other, grow in the business world. Obviously personal, family types of relationships, men struggle there. There's just a lot of pressure on men, especially the entrepreneurial men. They need to lead everything. They got to lead their businesses. They got to lead their families. They got to be present all the time. They always got to have their game face on. And yeah, so some of the struggles is just the stress, the anxiety that all brings. It brings, you know, struggles with their marriage, men, you know, divorce, kids that don't know them. All those personal types of struggles are some of the main things. Lust is a huge thing, obviously, with men. There's a book called Every Man's Battle that, you know, I've read in the past. Lust was a big thing for me in my early years, and we never get away from it. I mean, you know, the world is coming after us hard charging, saying, we want you to lust after everything, right? We can't get away from it. So that, and the world knows that. So that's obviously a huge thing, which if you battle with that and you're either tiptoeing in it or you're in the deep end, that's gonna bring a lot of hardship on your other relationships as well. Men try to numb themselves out. Again, like, what do they go to when they have some of these struggles? Most men just try to numb it out. And that could be workaholic. They could become a workaholic, alcoholic, drug, lust, porn, just to try to medicate it and numb it out. So again, it's just like, let's just be honest about it. If you're struggling with it, let's just lay it on the table. How can we help you? But some of the similar issues that across the board.
Yeah, there's a lot to the complexities of men. I think there's such a false narrative that men are simple creatures, and we're not. There's a lot that goes on internally. I think more or less the reason why people think we're so simplistic is because men just don't open up about the complexity, right? Yeah. Because we're fearful if we open up about the complexity, all of a sudden it's going to get used against us, right? Like that's kind of that exposing vulnerability.
I think one of the big things is, and you can probably really relate to this, is just in our modern culture, is just the wildness of men, the adventure. I'm sure that you enjoy kind of the adventure, the being wild, right? And we don't have to do that anymore. I think that's why men gravitate to some of these movies that have to hunt and we have to kill, and if we don't eat, and we're trying to survive. And now we don't have to do that. And
yeah.
So we're trying to find that again. And we're just finding it in the wrong ways, I think, at the end of the day. So yeah, I think a lot of that is that. We're just, we're domesticated. We're sitting behind a desk. And we want to be wild, right? And we think wild has to be going to the strip club. And it, honestly, it doesn't. It can be something that is good for you and not destructive. And that's what we try to do in our groups.
That's awesome. What is something that you guys put together as like a group to kind of reclaim that primal connection to the earth, to God, to yourselves? Like, what is it that you guys maybe try to incorporate to get back to that?
Most of our events are typically happen in the wilderness, somewhere in the mountains. We've had our few events in the mountains, Rocky Mountains. You know, we had it out in Rocky Mountains. We had one out in Northern Georgia. So typically just out, you know, in God's creation, God's wonder, you know, together, hiking, you know, getting outside, getting in nature, doing some fun things, whether it's just kind of, you know, sports types of things, celebrating, you know, just kind of bringing out that boyish wonder in men. So if you think about some of the youth camps, maybe you went to some youth camps that it's just fun. It's just crazy. It's laughter. It's just all that stuff that we kind of have gotten away from and we've numbed it all out. We try to bring all that out into men. So, because, you know, and men want to be boys, right? We want that boyish wonder. And just some of the childlikeness just kind of comes out. So we do a lot of that. Obviously, you know, a lot of fires, things of that nature. And we're looking for other opportunities, right? As far as adventure, biking, rafting, things like that. So we're a pretty young organization. So we've only been around for about a year, but these are some of the things that we're talking through.
I love that, man. This is so good. I think that's a brilliant thing. I do some work with men for events and that's it, man. I want to get them back in touch with kind of allowing that wild side to come out and then also being able to tap back into also connection with other men and have real conversations, but also have this fun, exhilarating adventure as well and kind of mesh the two. I don't think that they need to be held separate. So
yeah,
that's cool. I love that you guys are doing that. Brother, this is such a great conversation. I could talk to you forever. I just looked down and I was like, holy crap, we've already been on for 50 minutes. I want to highlight what you got going on. So tell everybody where they can find you, how they can become part of your ecosystem. We talked about your book, The Secret War Within. Where can they find that? And then obviously your podcast, the Iron Deep Podcast in your men's community.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so our website's irondeep.com. You can email me if you want to connect directly with me, Brett, B-R-E-T-T at irondeep.com. So irondeep.com. We have the book, The Secret War Within. I've had so much great response from that. The best way is to really, if you want to get to know the organization, is to read the book. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on our website, The Secret War Within by Brett Snodgrass. It's written in an allegory. So it's a story. So why we went that direction is instead of me telling you some pieces of my story, you can see the story. And really, you can see the secret war within and pull back the curtain on the main character and see what he is going through and his feelings and everything. So yeah, please get that if you're interested. And I'd love to just chat with you. And if we have something for you, great. If not, there's a lot of other great organizations out there, but I just want to support you any way I can.
I love that, brother. Thank you so much for spending your time on the show. Thank you for giving your wisdom and your support to all the men out there listening to this episode. And my last question before I let you run off and get to your busy day is, what does the art of masculinity mean to you?
Oh, the art of masculinity. Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to just being radically honest with yourself and who you are, who you're designed to be. And to live on mission.
I love that, brother. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that message. To everybody listening, make sure you guys check out what Brett's got going on. Make sure you check out his podcast, Iron Deep. Check out his book, The Secret War Within. Brother, thank you deeply for coming on the show. And to everybody listening, as always, the world deserves a better caliber of man, and it's our obligation to give it to him. All right. Thanks, guys.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.